This is the Kelly Patrick Show, and on today's episode, Kelly is joined by me, Brandon Bishop of the Louisville Royal Steel Fighting Team. We are going to talk about the upcoming show we have January 11th at the Grand in New Albany, Metal AF. Check it out on Facebook, but first, a word from Kelly's sponsors.
Tim Gar here. The title sponsor of the show is Louisville Combat Academy, located at 7908 Beulah Church Road, Louisville, Kentucky, 40228. They have a great MMA program, offer 10 planted no-gi jiu-jitsu, female-friendly classes, and a great kids program. Check out Louisville Combat Academy. Kelly is there kickboxing every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and for MMA sparring on Sundays at 5 p.m. Both classes are led by B.J. Ferguson, who in 2023, for obvious reasons, won the Everything contest for most handsome MMA fighter on the planet. Come out and join Kelly for a class. Veercast Digital Media at veercastdigitalmedia.com. Matt McCarthy runs Veercast and is also the producer for the Kelly Patrick Show. They do video production, aerial drone photography, web design, and podcast production. Contact them at info@veercast.com to start your own video show or podcast. Kelly's health insurance practice in Louisville, Kentucky. Kelly is an independent broker and he loves referrals for anyone in the United States who needs help with Medicare supplements, Advantage plans, and Part D drug plans. Kelly can also always help with life insurance, long-term care insurance, and group health insurance. Contact Kelly anytime via call or text 502-386-0978.
Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you for tuning in. I am joined by Brandon Bishop, longtime friend of the show. Brandon Bishop, the creator of the Kelly Patrick Show Facebook group. Badass Brandon Bishop, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for having me back yet again. Another awesome episode. Here we are.
Certainly welcome. You have an upcoming Armored Combat event. What can you tell us about the upcoming event? What's the date? Where's it at? What do we have look forward to?
Well, I guess maybe I should start by explaining what Armored Combat is, because a lot of people still don't know. Armored Combat is very similar to mixed martial arts in the sense that we are fighting with, it's a full contact fight, and it in this particular event we've got coming up is in a cage. So the rules are very similar to mixed martial arts, but steel fighting in general, or Bruhurt or armored combat, goes by a lot of different names, but essentially this is medieval style armor with real steel weapons and full contact fights. So, you know, they're really getting after it. You can get injured. You know, it's a full contact fight. Pretty cool. So that brought me to the idea.
So full contact fight. How do you win?
Well, there's several different ways, and it depends on which game you're playing, right? So the event we've got coming up January 11th, next Saturday in New Albany at the Grand, is called Metal Armored Fighting, Metal AF. And in this show, it's going to be one versus one, just like an MMA match would be. It's in a cage, and these guys are armored up. They've got weapons in hand, so swords, axes, maces, shields, that kind of thing. And the way you win is either you knock your opponent out, you get the referee to stop it because the other person is not defending themselves.
Just like a normal TKO in MMA.
Yep, just like you can go to a decision. And, you know, so it's very
similar to
very
MMA.
Similar to MMA.
Not really submissions.
No, and there's a pretty good reason for that, too. If I submit you in your armor, maybe I can't see your face as the referee. I can't see your face. I can't tell if you're wincing. Maybe
sure.
I can't hear you.
Sure.
Maybe your hand is bound up and you can't tap out, that kind of thing. So it's pretty unsafe to do submissions in this sport. But we do ground and pound. So up to 10 seconds, you get your fighter on the ground, you can drop your sword and just straight ground and pound for up to 10 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, man. And then so to add to the metal theme, what I did was we have gotten a metal band, a local band called Age of Bellum, and these guys are going to be playing the intro songs for all the fighters as they walk out to the cage, and then they're going to play a pretty awesome intermission in the middle of the fight card so that everybody has time to go get their food from Smoking Frank's Barbecue. Go grab their drinks from the bar. It's an 18 and over show, so no kiddos around, and it's going to be awesome, man.
Before I forget, I want to give a shout out to Derek Pandorf. He has experience, I don't know where, we'll have to find out, but fighting Armored Combat.
Oh, really?
And he made his MMA debut against an absolute beast of a wrestler and just a really solid striker. And so he ended up losing. So he's sitting at 0-1, but Derek Pandorf, this guy, was a very impressive striker inside the MMA cage, and he came over from, the information I received was Armored Combat.
Huh. Well, that's one of the first crossovers I've seen other than myself, but I started the other way around. I started MMA first and then moved to Armored Combat.
Have you seen it come from MMA to Armored Combat, other than yourself?
A couple times. Okay. Yeah. There's a few guys. There's a guy named Joshua Kenry that had started with a jiu-jitsu and MMA background that moved into Armored Combat. Actually, if you ever watched Night Fight on History Channel, it's a show about Armored Combat. And I want to say it was Gilbert Burns, ex-UFC fighter, that gave it a shot. And,
okay.
And you can see that the skills didn't quite translate the way he thought they were going to.
I can imagine. I mean, you see certain MMA fighters who aren't even the best strikers in MMA, but they're so familiar with such small gloves that when they go to bare knuckle, sometimes they can then beat really good boxers because the boxers are used to wearing these pillows on their hands. So a slight adjustment in the rule set can be like almost a total game changer.
Yeah, and if you're not conditioned to wear the armor, that in itself is a complete different challenge. I brought a helmet with me, actually, today. Our viewers on Spotify, our listeners won't be able to see this, but we do have a live video going right now.
On Brandon Bishop public Facebook page?
It's actually on the Louisville Royal Steel Fighting page. So if you guys are on Facebook, if you're checking it out on Spotify, you can actually see this happen on the Louisville Royal Steel Fighting page. But what I did was I brought my helmet. This is made by a company called Buhurt Tech. They're from the Ukraine. And I just wanted to bring that, show it to you so you can kind of get a feel for
how
much
weight. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, and how much padding is in there and stuff, because you got to protect your dome, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sure. Because you could be getting hit with a mace.
Sure. Yeah, or a two-handed axe, or, I mean, anything. But if you had to guess, how much would you think that weighs?
£30.
That's a pretty common guess.
Okay.
It's actually about half of that. It's about 16 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. But it feels heavy when you have it in your hands. It feels about like a
bowling
ball.
Yeah, I was thinking that I was probably, because, carrying a human is one thing if they're cooperating, but if they're giving you dead energy, it's a completely different thing. So, that's an interesting. So, 16-pound helmet.
Yep.
Pretty good vision. Can you see well out of this?
Yeah. I mean, surprisingly, the type of helmet that I'm showing you here is called a clap visor. And this is a style that, if you're not able to see this at home, there's kind of like some slots for the eyes to look through, and there's perforated holes all throughout the face so that you can breathe through that. And you can see through those holes pretty well too. So with my eyes being close enough to that, that faceplate there, you can see through it pretty well. You can breathe through it too. And you're more than welcome to try it on if you think your head will
fall. I got a pretty big head.
Well,
I think my head might get stuck in there if I try.
So the whole suit of armor weighs about 80 pounds, 70 to 80 pounds. If you go with titanium, it can be a little bit lighter. If you're somebody who fights on a team, you're going to want more coverage. If you're somebody who fights duels like I do a lot of times, you can sacrifice some of that coverage so that you're not quite as encumbered. It's not quite as heavy. So some guys
just because you're crazier. What do you mean? So you're sacrificing some of your coverage just because?
Yeah.
What was the justification? So it's obviously a little bit less safety.
Yeah. So the idea here, the trade-off is, the more armor I have, the more protected I am, but I'm also encumbered by that armor.
Sure, yeah.
So the less armor I have, vice versa, I'm less encumbered. Therefore, I can move easier. I've got less weight on. So some guys will even wear what they call jack chains. These are just basically long steel plates that are on the outside of the arm that go between the shoulder and the elbow. And that's all the coverage you get on this upper arm part. So you better be good if you're wearing those, because you can get tagged on the bicep or the tricep, and that's going to put that arm out of commission for a while. So
this is the same helmet you wear for every time you compete.
Well, I do now, yeah. And so you see this function at the top here. This is actually a pivotal hinge, so I can turn this and take this faceplate off, and I've got another faceplate that I can put on there. And that other faceplate is called a wolf rib, and it's similar to what you would see like in football. It's kind of like a main bar that goes down the middle and then crossbars that go across the face. And again, this is a trade-off. I can see and breathe easier.
Might get stabbed in the eye.
Might get stabbed in the eye, you know, which is a trade-off. You know, you got to think. You got to take the pros with the cons.
How many times have you competed in armored combat yourself?
I mean, not as much as most, because I do concentrate on being the captain of the team a lot.
Okay.
I've probably done 20 or 30 fights over about 4 years.
And have those been one-on-one or a combination of one-on-one, also group team stuff?
Yeah, it's a mixture. Okay. Yeah, sometimes I'll battle with the team. So we'll do, especially when we do Kentucky Highlands Renaissance Festival, we'll do shows there. And those are more like family-oriented, family fun kind of things. So we'll do, you know, 10 guys or 12 guys all in there at the same time, all for themselves. And then sometimes we'll do 5v5 teams. Sometimes we play games where, we'll put everybody in the middle, put weapons around the outside, and nobody even starts with a weapon. They just have to run and find the weapon to fight with. So we have a lot more fun at the Ren Faire. Those are just kind of like family fun shows, whereas Metal AF is like we're getting down to the gritty.
Can you do anything without a weapon?
So it depends on what rule set you're fighting in. If you're at the Ren Faire, it's kind of like you can do whatever you want to within reason. So you drop your weapon, you can just start throwing blows.
Double leg tackle someone?
Yeah. And then it's fine.
Ground and pound with like kicks, dropping.
I've seen a few guys throw people's elbow a time or two, you know.
Kicking a downed opponent, no big deal. Kicking to the head.
Legal. Yeah.
So they're down on the ground, you're stomping them on the head until the ref stops it, maybe?
I haven't seen any stomps yet, but I have seen some soccer kicks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Soccer kicks with the big armored metal boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some soccer kicks.
Yeah,
wow.
They're called sabatons. Yeah, and it's just basically a steel piece that you wear over top of your entire foot, and it's flexible and has, you know, articulation to it.
But if you kick someone wearing that, that'll hurt your foot too.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, yeah, I kind of apply like the Muay Thai rule. I try and catch somebody with the shin part.
Sure, kick it the right way. Still know how. How much of your MMA skills do transfer over? Because you just referenced knowing how to properly throw a kick.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, I was thinking, worried about the foot. You're like, well, I'm not really using my foot.
Right. Yeah, so there are certain sets within MMA that do translate really well. Greco-Roman and Judo translate really well.
I can see that.
Muay Thai translates pretty well.
Sure.
Because in my AMMA fights, I'm clinching, I'm throwing elbows, knees. I want to use those Thai style takedowns and Greco-Roman style takedowns so that I stay standing and get my opponent to the ground. But I can also use, you know, folk style stuff. And, you know, I saw a guy at the last AMMA did a double leg takedown and got his opponent down. And, you know, so I mean, whatever. If you can do it, you can do it.
Do you know if that guy had a wrestling background?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure if he does or not.
Regardless,
it looked like he had a pretty decent
double. He practiced that double leg before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the event is January 11th, 2025.
That's right.
New Albany, Indiana.
Yep.
What else can you tell us about it? What's general admission cost? How do you get tickets?
You can go to eventbrite.com. In the search bar, type in Metal AF. It's the only result that'll pop up. General admission is $35 a seat. You can get cage side seats for $60. And they're first come, first serve. All of them, none of them are reserved. So even if you get a cage side seat, show up early and you can choose your seat. So I don't expect that we're going to completely sell out the floor. Sure. A lot of people are just now finding out about this, so I don't think we'll have the balcony open. But if we do sell out the floor, we've got the option to open the balcony and more seating can be up there. So, I mean, it's going to be a really cool show. It's going to be the first of its kind for sure.
Have you worked in the state of Indiana before?
If you mean work, like fought?
I mean done armored combat stuff in Indiana before.
I've fought there before, but I've never, this is my first time being a promoter. So this is my first experience ever putting together a show other than like the Ren Faire stuff.
Is it, how's this regulated?
Good.
Okay, cool.
It's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I want to keep it that way as long as possible. You know, I love the people on the commission, but I don't like the commission itself.
Sure.
I think that a lot of times it's just bureaucratic and red tape and stuff like that. Although I think it does serve a, you know, it serves a purpose, but not in this world. Nobody's on it yet. So we're just the Wild West of it, and we're rolling with it, man.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's all right. You're going to be there?
You know, I don't know. I will have, I think I've got my kids that weekend. What I don't know for sure
excuse.
If I can put me on the spot here.
Yeah.
It's Saturday, January 11th, New Albany.
Doors open at 6, fights start at 7.
How many fights?
We had 9 scheduled. One of them dropped off, but I'm trying to get that 9th filled back in. So I'm sure by the end of today, I'll have 9 fights on that card.
9 one-on-one fights.
Yes, sir. And they'll be just like MMA. We're going to call out each guy. They're going to stand in the corners. These are going to be 1-minute rounds with 1-minute breaks, 3 rounds.
Are the fights recorded video footage?
Yeah, so I've got several photographers that are going to be there. One person's actually filming a documentary for one of the fighters.
Wow.
And then I'm going to try and do a live feed for it. I don't have the capability of doing pay-per-view yet, but I'm going to try and live feed it to our Facebook page. So if you guys are listening to this and it's Saturday night and you're not able to get out, check the Facebook page, Louisville Royal Steel Fighting Team or Metal AF, and we may have it up there for you to watch.
For free?
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to grow it's a sport.
Yeah, man. So I want to get as much attention on this as possible. I've got this show scheduled with you. I've got another one scheduled Monday, a podcast. Next Thursday, I'm going to do a new segment with WLKY in the morning.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So I'm really just trying to get as many eyes on it as possible because I don't think this is going to be our only event, and I want people to know about this next time so that we can grow and we can continue to bring this type of hype to the Kentuckiana area, man, because, I mean, nobody else is doing this.
How often do you guys practice?
Right now, during the winter, we do once a week. During the summer, we usually hit twice a week because we get a little bit longer hours during the week. But right now, it's just on the weekends.
Where do you practice?
We are at a top secret location.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the sounds of this. A lot
yeah,
of
not
being regulated, you
ambiguity.
Know, top secret. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tell me more. Tell me all you can tell me.
Okay. If you're interested in becoming a member with the Louisville Royal Steel Fighting Team, you can message me, Brandon Bishop, on Facebook, or you can message the Louisville Royal Steel Fighting Team on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, whatever platform we're on, message, it goes straight to me, and I can direct you where to get started. It's pretty straightforward, man. We've got some training gear at our place that you don't have to have anything to get started. You just show up, you know, eager to learn and ready for a workout, and we'll kind of point you in the right direction. You can see if it's, you know, if it's something that you're even interested in or what direction you want to go with it.
Have you found this can be similarly effective for exercise as like training for MMA?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think it could be, I don't want to say more strenuous because MMA is probably one of the harder things I've ever done, but this can be just as strenuous because these guys that are fighting, like when I go fight at AMMA, that's kind of the UFC of what we're of our world at this point. There's no bigger organization that's doing what we're doing other than maybe Heard International or something like that.
But where's the AMMA one? Where's that located?
They're built out of Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, Nashville Armored Combat. They've got a team down there, and they run AMMA. That stands for Armored Mixed Martial Arts. They've got a huge production down there that's absolutely top-notch. It brings in people, fighters from all around the world. There was a guy from, from Poland on the last card. So it's as big as it gets in our world, and I got to fight on it, not this past card, but the card before. And so I'm trying to basically become a feeder organization for those guys, you know what I mean, and create some stars that we can send to AMMA. And if there are people that are trying to fight at AMMA and they can't get a spot, they can come to us and, you know, still get their fights in and get their cage time in, still get on, hopefully on pay-per-views in the future and that kind of thing. So,
and there are pay-per-views.
Well, yes. So AMMA has pay-per-views.
Okay,
You can watch those right now if you go online.
So there is a way, if you get to be good at this, that you can make some money on it.
Yeah. I mean, as long as gate attendance is good on the events themselves, the live events, you can usually find sponsors that are willing to get in on it. That really helps kind of take some of the burden off of the producers and the people who are putting the money in. If you end up going the route of pay-per-view, then that starts to help some of the revenue for people who aren't able to attend in person. You can get views off that. It's not as much as a ticket, but, a good percentage of it. So, we can sell merch at the shows and make money that way off selling t-shirts and hoodies and hats and all that stuff, So lots of avenues to try and make the team work. Another thing we're looking at is creating a forge or repair area so that we can commission jobs. If fighters have busted pieces or something they need modified or fixed, they can send it to us. We can fix it for them and send it back. It's a lot better than buying a whole new piece and waiting a month from, the Ukraine. You want your stuff fixed, send it to me. I can have it back to you in a week.
Is Ukraine pretty big for Armored Combat?
Yeah, most of the stuff that I see purchased is coming from Ukraine. There are some Russian armors.
How long has that been the case?
Pretty much as long as armor's been made.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
If you were going to say, well, it really started in 2022, it's going to go, No. Okay, so
I got into the sport around 2018. That was already the case then. A lot of people were using Ukrainian armors. And I was pretty upset about the U.S. government sending all of our tax money over to Ukraine. And then COVID hit, and they gave me a $2,000 relief check. And then I took my tax money, and I sent it to Ukraine for weapons and armor. And I thought, you sons of bitches, stop spending my money and send it to Ukraine. I want to do that. I want to send it myself. So... But yeah, there's a Canadian Buhurt manufacturer. There's one Red Snake in Mexico. So it's not exclusive to Ukraine, but that's where the majority of the work is being done. And their work has been affected by the war. So if you have sent a couple of $1,000 over to an armorer in the Ukraine and it's taken a little longer than normal, just have patience. They are still working through a war zone, an active war zone, which is kind of crazy to me. A lot of Americans can tend to get a little impatient. Hey man, I sent you $2,000 and you said you were going to be done by July, and then they're sending you update photos of rubble that used to be their workshop, and you're like, yeah, we don't have electricity now, so we're trying, sorry. So be patient with those guys. If you got your money over in Ukraine, just they're working for you.
Is there a greatest in the sport of armored combat?
There are some greats, if that's what you mean. You're asking like the Michael Jordan or the Muhammad Ali of the sport?
Yes.
There are some very popular fellas amongst the sport, and I can't say that there's any one particular like superstar over the rest, but if you're talking about the sport, you'll hear popular names like Simon Rorick is one. There's actually a strap, a piece of equipment called a Simon strap, and it's named after him. This is a piece of equipment that goes from the back of your helmet down to what we call the brigandine, the piece that armors your torso. In the back, you have to have a strap that goes from your helmet to kind of like the upper portion of your back between your shoulder blades. Okay. And this strap keeps your helmet from being peeled off in the forward manner. Because if you look inside of this helmet, I've got a few straps. I've got one that goes underneath of my chin. I've got one that goes from the back of the helmet in front of my chin. Mm-hmm. And then I've got this one in the back that just kind of hangs out here and looks like it's just a tail.
Okay.
And that's the one that straps to the buckle that's on my back.
Would prevent someone from ripping your helmet off.
Yeah, so if you can imagine if the chin strap's on tight, it can still pop off this way, which you see happen in football games sometimes. Sure. I mean, they've got double chin straps on, Ursus, what they call Ursus chin straps in football, and still sometimes you'll see a helmet pop off. So this actually happened to Simon in a fight, and his helmet came off as somebody was swinging at him with a steel axe. So you can imagine... We want that strap, so we call that Simon strap. But there are several other notable names in the sport, and we love them all, man. It's awesome, man. I love the sport. I fell in love with it. I'm surprised that I haven't seen more crossover from the mixed martial arts world. For whatever reason, I post stuff and I talk about it and I share it. I go to the gyms. I talk to people at seminars. I go to the fights and talk to people about it. And they're like, yeah, man, it's really cool. But like, no crossover. I don't know, man. Maybe they just have to see it first.
Who introduced you to the sport?
Oddly enough, man, I was getting ready for work in the morning. I was watching WDRB and I saw a couple of guys, Ricky Rayome and Sherman Hand. Shout out to those guys. They were doing a show in the morning with Keith Kaiser about an event that they were doing called Slugfest 2.
I think I had you and Sherman Hand on the weekend sports bus.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's a good memory. But yeah, so I saw that broadcast on the news, and I had always kind of had it in the back of my mind, like I wanted to try something like that, like, you know, fighting in armor and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to see what it was like. I want to fight all different ways. I don't know. I've done Taekwondo. I've done wrestling. I've done MMA, Sando, now this, you know. So it was just another avenue for me to fight. And I saw those guys on there, and I was like, man, I got to go check this out. And I reached out to them immediately, and they were super friendly. They were more than accommodating. They brought me backstage to the show and let me check out armor, and I took pictures and helmets and just immediately fell in love. And so I started hanging out with the club. It took me a couple of years to get my armor, and I wasn't joking when I said I had to use my stimulus check to finish getting my armor. But that's how I found out about it, man. And as soon as I started doing it, I fell in love with it, and next thing you know, COVID hit, everything kind of falls apart. Ricky was the team captain. He's decided he's going to move to Nashville for a little while, and there was nobody there to be team captain, and they just kind of handed it to me and said, it's yours now. And I was like, oh, okay, so here we go. But yeah.
Brandon, sorry to switch topics on you. I do have a question. You have done commentary for, I think it's a few years now, for some different MMA promotions. What has your experience been like doing the MMA commentary? How long, is that right, about 3 years?
Yeah, pretty close to it, man. And before I even get into that part, I gotta really thank you and give you the credit for that, man.
Thank you.
You know, I had done MMA for a number of years, and I had met you. You were doing the commentary for some of my fights, and that's how I think you and I actually made our first connection, was through Weekend Sports Buzz and that kind of thing. So, yeah, man, you allowing me to come on to the Weekend Sports Buzz as a guest kind of prompted me to come on as like a regular and work the soundboard with you guys, and that's kind of where I got my chops in. And next thing you know, somebody's looking for a commentator, and I think you may have even put my name out there. I don't know if you did, but yeah, man.
I did.
Okay. Yeah,
I did. I
appreciate that.
I don't
want to
sound like a douche, but I did.
Yeah. I thought that was the case. Yeah. And
well, you have a good voice, and you're knowledgeable and likable and all that, so that's a pretty good formula for commentary, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciated the opportunity to do it, because it's something that I really enjoy doing. The way I look at things is, you can pay money to sit in the back and be a spectator, or I can get paid to sit in the best seat in the house and talk about something I love doing with really cool people who enjoy the same thing. So I really appreciate the help that you've given me.
And that's not why I was bringing it up. Sorry.
Yes, it was.
Dude. No. Well, now that we kissed up to me, then we'll move on to a different topic. So tell me about it. What have you enjoyed about it? What promotions have you been doing? When's your next time?
I believe the first one I did was Made Men Promotions, and I worked with a guy named Brian over there, who was a friend of Hard Rock's. And Brian was like an old school MMA fan, and I think he had done some commentary with Ohio Valley, or one of wrestling organizations around here. So had his chops in, knew what was going on and stuff, so really easy to work with him. And and that prompted Phil over at Future of Fighting to ask me if I wanted to come work there. And so I did a couple of shows with him, and then working there, I started talking to Chance Beck and Gina Lucille over at Kings of Kickboxing, and they asked me to come there. I was a student at and a coach at 10th Planet at the time, and so whenever they had jiu-jitsu matches, I would do the commentary for those. So I've done kickboxing, MMA, and jiu-jitsu commentary now, and of course armor combat. So now I've covered four sports, and you know, just really enjoy what I do, man.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I also really enjoy the MMA commentary. I like seeing the young amateur fighters.
Yes.
You know, who are 0-1 or 1-1 or whatever, debut fighter.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, those storylines, the ones that I see start and toward the beginning of their career start to take shape, yeah, are really engaging for me.
Yeah, I say that a lot, too, when I'm watching those debut fighters come out for their first time, because a lot of people don't understand what kind of work and what kind of journey those guys have been on for years in order to step into that cage for the very first time. So you're seeing dreams realized. You're seeing time that's been sacrificed with their family. You're seeing pain. You're seeing blood, sweat, and tears that have all come down to that one moment. And those guys are in that moment. There's nothing else that exists to them except for that. And, man, that's an amazing moment to be able to witness, and let alone, you know, my voice is on there now forever for that guy. Like, it's imprinted in him now. So, you know, for every good thing I said, for every bad thing I said, sure, whatever, yeah, you know, yeah, like, it lives on in his mind forever. So I try and be as respectful as possible to all the fighters.
That's course, a good approach.
Yeah, man. Well, first off, I do actually respect them. You know, it's not a show. I'm not just, you know, somebody I'm looking at like, oh, fuck this guy. And then, you know, on tape, I'm like, yeah, man, he's a really good fighter. No, I mean, I really do respect these guys, the work that it takes to get in there. You know, I'm not biased at all whenever I call fights. I've seen people that have been my friends and training partners in there, and it's hard sometimes to not be biased when you're making those, you know, because, hey, I'm sad to see my friend lose, or I'm excited to see him win. But at the same time, there's another fighter in there that's experiencing the opposite of my friend here. And so I got to keep that in mind that, you know, if I'm celebrating my friend's victory, that means that I'm celebrating this other man's loss. And so, you know, you got to keep it fair. You got to keep it, you know, very objective and just call what you see in there. And it's an acquired skill. I felt so stupid the first few times that, you know, I would say something I felt like was a mistake or something. I'd be like, oh, man. But now you just, it is what it is. You just let it roll and you keep on going, man, you know. You know this better than I do. You've been doing commentary a lot longer than I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. But, you know, that doesn't mean necessarily. I mean, your experience doing it is probably a little different than mine. I mean, you're coming. I'm not an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
You know, so we have a different entry into True. The world of commentary. So I would think our experiences are pretty different, actually, in some ways. Now, yeah. I love it. It's kind of like being a fan, trying to be respectful to both fighters. Yeah. I think that's a simple, you know, simple approach that keeps it to everybody's happy.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the day that the stars align and you and I get to work together
on
a show.
Yes, yes. You know? That would be amazing.
Yeah. We've sat across the cage from each other as opponents.
Yes, yes.
And now we might get the chance to work together.
That would be great. I would predict that will happen at some point.
We'd have to make a new cover for the Kelly Patrick Show on Facebook, though, because the current photo is of our jiu-jitsu match.
Yes.
And I'm in a seated position, and I believe I'm giving you the middle finger.
You're flicking me off, yes.
Yeah, so sorry.
That's all right. What do you think of doing the kickboxing commentary?
Man, I get really excited about the kickboxing commentary.
Do you have a preference? Do you prefer kickboxing or MMA? I've never done kickboxing.
You know, man, I like MMA because I was an MMA fighter for so long and there's so much that goes into it. But I think kickboxing is a little bit more exciting to call as a commentator just because there's a lot less lulls in the action. If you're talking about MMA, sometimes guys can get into a clinch or they can get on the ground and they'll be pretty inactive for, you know, 10, 15 seconds. And if you're doing a play-by-play, there's not a whole lot to say. So you just sit back and kind of let it
play
out.
To win a kickboxing match, the only way is to throw kicks and punches.
Yeah. And man, I tell you, there's been some really exciting ones on the organization I'm working with, Kings of Kickboxing. Man, those guys are talented. They are talented. You get in there.
Shout out to Chance Beck.
Yes, yes. And Gina Lucille and all of the fighters over at Kings of Kickboxing. They bring it, man. If you haven't been to one of those fights and you're a fight fan, go check it out. They fight in the same place that we're about to have our event, in the Grand in New Albany. And, man, it is litty. You got to check it out, man.
I do need to make an event. I've seen some videos of some head kick knockouts.
Yes, man.
Have you? What's the craziest shit you've commentated so far?
Man, I wish I could remember the guys' names. But that was one of the kickboxing matches. There was a couple of guys that came out. Both of them just beefcakes, dude. You know, and
thick.
Yes, and you know, you look at those guys, and I go, they're probably going to get winded pretty quick. You know, all that muscle mass demands a lot of oxygen, and if this one's not over fast, then they may be sucking wind and getting tired. And, man, I tell you, somewhere about halfway through the first round, there was a head kick thrown that put somebody in the next dimension, man. And I was pretty speechless there for about 10 seconds. All I could say was, wow, God. So, I mean, you know, I've seen some pretty crazy moments, quick knockouts and stuff in MMA and things like that. But, you know, those are always the most memorable moments, I think, are the knockouts.
Once again, your upcoming event, New Albany, Indiana, right across the river, Saturday, January 11th, 2025. Contact Brandon, contact the Instagram page if you're interested in checking out the event, finding the address. What's the name of the venue again?
It's The Grand.
The Grand.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and the show is called Metal AF. Again, you can find that on eventbrite.com. You can look us up. We have a Metal AF Facebook page, so you can check that out. But most of our content is through the Louisville Royals Steel Fighting Team page. And then, you know, I still share content through both of those. But the Royals is kind of like the main gig, and then the Metal AF is just the show that we're putting on. So keep an eye out on those pages, because next week when I go on WLKY with Sam Carver, I plan on doing a ticket giveaway. I'm going to give away two free tickets to Metal AF. So keep an eye on that show. If you happen to be up in the mornings, catch WLKY between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. next Thursday. You'll see the broadcast. You'll get your instructions on the contest and how you can enter to win two free tickets to the show.
Good stuff. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, dude. This is awesome.
Before we wrap up the episode, any other plugs or anything you'd like to mention?
No. Just want to thank our sponsors for this upcoming show, J&B Magic Theater and Shop. They're sponsoring one of the corners. The other corner is Asylum Extreme, both there in New Albany. So huge shout out to those guys. Thank them very much. We were going to have Smoke and Frank's Barbecue as a caterer out there. So, you know, you'll have some good food. You'll have some good drinks. There's going to be Age of Bellum playing live music at the show. There's going to be 9 fights. I mean, this is going to be a cool show. It's something you don't want to miss. Make sure you go to eventbrite.com. Check out Metal AF.
Good stuff. I also want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Kelly Patrick Show. Of course, we'll have another episode out soon.